Praise the Lord, everyone.
Praise the Lord, brother.
It's two portions of scripture that I'd like to turn us to. The first one is the first letter of John, chapter 2, 15 to 17. So 1 John, chapter 2, 15 to 17. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lusts thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. And the second portion is Luke chapter 17. Verses 20 to 32, to 33. Verses 20 to 33. Luke chapter 17, verses 20 to 33. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees, when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall they say, lo here, or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. And he said unto the disciples, the days will come, when ye shall desire to see the one of the days of the Son of Man, and ye shall not see it. And they shall say to you, see here, or see there. Go not after them, nor follow them. For as the lightning that lighteneth out of one part under heaven, shineth unto the other part under heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day. But first must he suffer many things, and be rejected of this generation. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. Remember Lot's wife. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. Let us pray. Father God, thank you and praise you for your word. Lord Jesus, Father God, even as I share, Father God, help me to share forth your word, and I hide myself behind your cross, Father God. Lord Jesus, we pray for your word, and we pray that it would bear fruit, Father God. Help us to remember and bring it always into remembrance. Thank you and praise you for your love. Thank you and praise you for your mercy. We pray, continue to pray for your word, that it would bear fruit, Father God. In Jesus' name, amen. So the first portion of scripture that we went through was the first letter of John. So John, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, writes of fellowship with God. He's gone through the first letter of John goes through two separate divisions. The conditions for fellowship are laid out between the first and the second chapters, most of the second chapter. The latter chapters speak of the behavior of this fellowship. So the portion that we read was 1 John 2, 15 to 17. Are some of the corruptions that could oppose this fellowship or bring about a restriction in this relationship with God. Verse 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So the world here does not mean the universe created by God. The open Bible that I've just read, it basically explains, there's a small note down there, but it basically says that it is the community of sinful humanity that possesses a spirit of rebellion against God. That is the things that are opposed to God, that are against God, and that are wicked. We can read that from 1 John chapter 5, 18 to 19. I'll quickly read that portion. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and the wicked one toucheth him not. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. Therefore, everything in the world, or the worldly system, or the worldly values, are in rebellion against God and His will. Now, Jesus uses or brings about this point in the other portion of Scripture that we read. He touches on this point in the other portion of Scripture that we read, specifically in the verse, so Luke chapter 17, verse 32, three words that he uses there. Remember Lot's wife. The context here is basically about the second coming. So that is in Luke, the context of the Scripture that we read in Luke chapter 17. It's the context of God's second coming and the unpreparedness of some during that time. In the build-up to this verse, he talks of the time during the second coming. It would be like the time of Noah, it would be like the time of Lot. There would be no love for God or God-conscious lives where there's reverent fear for God. But instead, they would go on with worldly things or the things of this world. Verse 31, the portion before the verse says, then speaks of the day of the coming of the Lord, that he that is on the rooftop, let him not come down to take away the stuff in his house, or he that is in the field, let him not return to his house. Then he goes on to the scripture that says, remember Lot's wife. Now he does not ask us to remember Isaac, Abraham, or Jacob, or some other hero in the portion of scriptures. But he warns us to remember Lot. We know that she was lost forever. So there are lessons that we can learn and remember from the mistakes and the wrong choices in this woman's life. Now, even as I speak these words, I understand very well that I speak these words to myself as well. Firstly, to myself. And but as we look at her life, there are lessons to learn here. So firstly, Lot's wife was a privileged woman. She had a husband who is righteous. And by marriage, she had an uncle, that is in Abraham, who was a very godly man. We know that he was a man of faith, and we are all his children in faith. And we know that Lot was a righteous man, as it is said from the letter of Peter. Now, did this righteousness of these people have an effect on this woman's life? What did she do? We can have a glimpse of it from Genesis chapter 19, 17 to 26. So Genesis chapter 19, 17 to 26. So if someone can read verses 17 to 26.
As soon as they had brought them out, one of them said, "Flee for your lives. Don't look back and don't stop anywhere in the plain. Flee to the mountains or you'll be swept away." But Lot said to them, "No, my lords, please. Your servant has found favor in your eyes and you have shown great kindness to me in sparing my life. But I can't flee to the mountains. This disaster will overtake me and I'll die. Look, here is a town near enough to run to and it is small. Let me flee to it. It is very small, isn't it? Then my life will be spared." He said to him, "Very well, I will grant this request too. I will not overthrow the town you speak of, but flee there quickly, because I cannot do anything until you reach it." That is why the town was called Zoar. By the time Lot reached Zoar, the sun had risen over the land. And the Lord rained down burning sulfur on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of the heavens. Thus he overthrew those cities and the entire plain, including all those living in the cities, and also the vegetation in the land. But Lot's wife looked back, and she became a pillar of salt.
So here the angels had come to warn them. They brought forth the word of God. They spoke what God had told them or instructed them to speak. They warned, "Escape thy life and look not behind and let them out of destruction." So these are not small privileges that this woman went through. Yet we read that she died godless. Now, she would have gone through daily religious activities. As Uncle was sharing earlier, it's not religion that ever brings us to Christ. She would have gone through many of the religious activities. She would have even seen her godly husband pray. And she would have come across or heard about the faith that her uncle in marriage had. Yet she had something in her heart that was the world, which she was not willing to let go. God does give us religious privileges. He might, but let us not lean on them because they cannot save us or carry us through. Let us desire to have the benefit of these privileges in our life, but they would not substitute what we should have to Christ, the place that we should give to Christ. We can thank God if these privileges are part of our lives, and we should realize that they need to bring about fruit through the working of the Holy Spirit. Secondly, we see here that she had a spirit of disobedience and rebellion. She disobeyed the word that was given to her. In the Bible study, we have been going through the life of King Saul. Most of us know this scripture or would have come across this scripture. The words of Samuel as he spoke to King Saul. It is in 1 Samuel chapter 15, 22 and 23. I'll read it for you. "And Samuel said, 'Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices, as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king." To obey is better than sacrifice. Rebellion is bad as witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. So we hear this lady chose to disobey and rebel. Many a times we in our own lives do not hear or walk according to the ways of God. So let us remember Lot's wife. Thirdly, she looked back. But this look was a look of the love of the world, which was there within her heart. Her heart was in Sodom. She was not willing to let go. She wanted to hang on to some bit of it and look back. That was where her treasure was. James chapter 4 verse 4 says, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, the friendship of the world is enmity with God." 1 John chapter 2 15, again, I would like to read the first part of it. "If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." Loving the world or covetousness is idolatry. And in this case, it is mentioned or implying that it is adulterous as well. And it is in enmity with the living God. Jesus also said, another portion of scripture that comes to mind is Luke chapter 9 verse 62, which says, "No man having put his hand on the or to the plough and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." So let us remember Lot's wife and what it is that the love of the world can bring about in our lives. As we continue the next verse of this portion of scripture, 1 John chapter 2 verse 16. So, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world." Another portion in conjunction with this is Ecclesiastes chapter 5, 10 and 11. "He that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance with increase. This is also vanity. When goods increase, they are increased that eat them. And what good is there to owners thereof, saving the beholding of them with their eyes?" So worldly lusts and love is not of the Father, but it is of the world. The love of the world starts usurping or taking over our affections. We as believers need to mortify and crucify this love of the flesh or love of the world. We need to renounce any other kind of love that we may carry or hang on to even after we are saved. Again, as I speak these words, I'm not above these words. I'm not above what I'm speaking here. But let us pray that even as we continue on in our life, may the love of the world completely be removed by the love of the Father. Three inclinations of the deprived nature of man that it brings about here: lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. So lust of the flesh, which is the craving or the appetite for sinful or fleshly desires or pleasure. One of the commentaries from the Bible that I was looking in describes it as a preoccupation with gratifying physical desires. Lust of the eyes, and that is the craving for treasures, riches and possessions, the things that are pleasing to our physical and fleshly eyes. This is basically covetousness in nature. And the third is the pride of life. This craving is for self-importance, applause, worldly glory, honor, and it is the lust that wants to elevate itself. So let us pray that such loves would be crushed in our heart. And the final verse of this portion that I read, 1 John chapter 2 verse 17, "And the world passeth away, and the lusts thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. As we read here, every single portion of these lusts or worldly things will pass away. They are not forever. But what is after? Eternity. And let us be eternally minded. Let us love the Lord and have the love to the Father. And let us lovingly follow His will. The love of the Father is the only one that abides forever. And that is the only love that truly matters. And God that has put that love within us in the person of Christ, through what He has done on the cross for our sins, we can have life eternal. And not only that, we can have victory. We can have victory over sin and death. We can have victory because He has given us the Holy Spirit who comes to live within us. And He will teach us to crucify these lusts and these loves that take important place in our life. Even as we go on, let us remember Lot's wife, the mistake she made, and let us always hold the Lord God and His commands foremost in our lives and not give way to any other thing. Jesus died for us on the cross and was resurrected. And He has power, or given us the power, over sin and death as well, through the person of Jesus Christ, through what He has done on the cross. And we can have the strength through the working of the Holy Ghost to continue on in faith. So even as we walk in our spiritual journey, may the Lord give us grace to stand on in faith and stand on in the power of the living God. Praise the Lord. Let us pray. Loving Father God, thank You and praise You for Your death on the cross. Thank You and praise You for the victory over sin and death. Thank You and praise You, Lord God, that You are coming soon for us, Father God. Help us to always remember, Father God, the price that You have paid for us. Thank You and praise You, Father God, that You would give us strength through the dwelling of You within us, Father God. You give us Your life. You live Your life within us, Father God. Help us to remember Lot's wife and continue on in faith in our lives. Worship You and praise You, for You are the giver of life. You give us victory over the works of the evil one. Praise You and thank You for Your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.